Hello everyone and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. This podcast covers a wide range of youth basketball topics, from high school and AAU basketball to college recruiting, NCAA, NBA, overseas basketball, mental health and performance, leadership, and much more. Now let's jump into today's conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Welcome back to the Youth Hoops Pods. Chris Goodrum, Pro Skills Basketball National Director, coming at you with another call with a really cool story, really cool experience from a previous PSB Elite player in the name of Will Coble, Davidson Day graduate in 2020, Davidson Day state title in 2020, hell of a way to end his high school career. Just finished his senior year at Randolph-Macon College, where he was a part of the D3 Randolph-Macon National Championship team in 2022. Really cool experience. So, Will, man, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, Chris, thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. Hey, first thing I want to talk about is just that Davidson Day state title really quickly, because I would be remiss if I didn't, because there was a lot of PSB Elite presence on that team, between you, between Stretch, Jackson Threadgill, between Brazel. Who else? There were four or five guys on there, right?
DJ Huntley. Luke Robinson.
Yeah.
Isaac Booth was on that team, or on that PSB Elite team.
That's great, man. Like, I go back, man, I remember those games, and it's like, man, those guys are hooping. I mean, it was, I'm sure you guys try when you do your alumni runs at Davidson Day, those guys in some fashion are coming back into the building?
All the time.
Awesome. Well, again, really appreciate you jumping on, spending some time, maybe pouring into some young athletes who have that goal, that ambition to play at the next level, and just hope kind of your insight, your experience, your story kind of helps shed some light, gives motivation, points players in the right direction to focus their attention towards that goal of playing at the next level. So first thing I want to jump into is, man, you came out of high school at a really wild time, right? Graduated in 2020, kind of that last year was kind of that COVID year, trying to figure out, are we playing basketball at the high school level, at the college level, are we not? Like, talk about just the challenge, both physically and mentally, of that experience, and then how that translated into, crap, can I play at the next level? Is that going to be an opportunity?
Yeah, for sure. We were lucky enough to go ahead and win our state championship. We were lucky to have that opportunity. And then about a week later, public schools were still going through their state championship and everything shut down, no basketball, no contact. And it was weird. It was mentally grueling. You know, you're used to getting in the gym with these guys every single day to just zero contact, and you can't even see them. It was a wild time, as we all remember, especially going into, you know, trying to figure out where I'm going to play. I could have played, you know, on an unsigned senior team and maybe keep getting my recruitment up, but, you know, all that obviously fell apart. And, you know, I was lucky enough to be recruited at the Division III and Division II level prior to COVID. And so I kind of had a slight idea of some schools that I would probably have an opportunity for. So I was lucky in that aspect.
What was kind of the deciding factor? Because you mentioned, Will, you had kind of the path of, I was being talked to, being kind of followed or targeted by D2 and D3 schools. Kind of what was the deciding factor? Because, you know, in today's landscape, I think people would cast out a D3 offer for that D2 offer, not knowing kind of the intricacies of D3 basketball, depending on what level they're falling in that D3 program, right? So what was that kind of conversation with your family, with coaches, that was like, yeah, let's go D3?
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to have a couple D2 offers coming out, earn some scholarship money, and went on a visit here at Randolph-Macon, and it was a Sweet 16 NCAA game, packed crowd, you know, that place was loud in Crenshaw. And I left that gym and I told my dad was with me. I was like, man, this is where I'm going to be, you know. As a D3 guy, coming out from a really high academic high school as well. Academics was, that was super important to me as well. And so Randolph-Macon was able to provide me with that high level, you know, academic career that I wanted. And to be able to compete at the highest level as well was huge for me. And so, you know, obviously we were lucky enough to be NCAA tournament team. Every year we had it here, and you know, that was pretty much the deciding factor to be on a winning team and have high academic.
Awesome. So I know that you mentioned your dad, Jeff Coble. Shout out, Jeff, played at UNC Asheville. Jeff's not a slouch when it comes to basketball. Played at Charlotte Latin as well. Was a prolific shooter, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
So Jeff, my man, shout out to you. You better be listening to your son. He's giving you props, even though I think he can take you now in the driveway.
I hope so.
I hope so. Yeah. So we'll talk about like kind of your maturation as a high school athlete, because I think it's important for kids to understand, whether it's middle school kids that are transitioning into high school kids that is going 15s to 16s to 17s. What was your focus when you're like, hey, I know that I want to try to play in college, and I've got these travel ball coaches. You know, I know that our PSB Elite coaches were pushing you hard. I know that you had a dad who knew what that experience was like and knew what you needed. And then obviously Ron and the Davidson Day crew was pushing you hard, right? What was that mental kind of makeup for you to say, hey, this is what I need to do now to prepare and give myself a shot to play in college?
Yeah. So playing in college was always a dream of mine. And I was lucky enough to grow up with a bunch of guys in the Pro Skills organization who wanted the same, you know, with Jackson and CJ and Adam and all those guys. So having that type of community, that type of team where everybody wanted to win, not only at the high school level, but to continue into college was huge. And, you know, it was a lot of accountability. We were getting up at 6 a.m., getting those 2-3-a-day workouts all the time, at least 5 times a week, and then playing pickup whenever we can. And then, you know, obviously my dad helped out a lot. He obviously went through that whole recruitment process, and he was able to give me a lot of great advice. You know, he was an assistant coach on that Davidson Day team my junior and senior year as well, and when Coach Johnson came in. And Coach Johnson, you know, taught us how to play defense and set us straight a little bit and taught us how to win at the highest level, and it paid out.
Yeah, if you're not playing defense with Coach Johnson, you're probably going to be on the bench. I know that.
I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, he is a stickler with defense and running those actions.
That's right.
And it worked for you guys for sure. So when you like, I would like for all of our young listeners, like rewind. I know I said this when I was talking with Coach Merkel the other night, because he dropped some incredible gems. But I think a lot of people gloss over, a lot of young players gloss over at times what you just said, right? Like, you were around a community of players and coaches that wanted to win at the highest level. And because of that, they held each other. You guys held each other. You had an internal cadence of accountability to make sure you were doing everything that you need to be doing, waking up early, getting 2-3-a-days, pick up, things like that. I think today's kids, some of them, there are a lot of hoopers out there that understand the sacrifice and the drive and the discipline that's needed. And then there's others that playing at the next level or being great high school athletes sounds sexy. It sounds great. But when it comes to putting the work in, it's like, I don't want to do that. And so when you're putting that work in, how are you getting or gaining information from your community on the things that you need to work on to maturate and get to the next step and get to the next step? So like, what are you focusing on?
Yeah. So the other guys around me, we would play a lot of one-on-one, and that was a huge learning experience for me. You know, I think if you can seek out competition, we say it at Randolph-Macon all the time, seek competition. That's the biggest teacher. That thing, like, you're getting cooked in one-on-one, maybe you can't guard, maybe you figure out something else, you know, maybe you've got one move and everybody's stopping that one move. Now you have to make a counter and then you go and work on it. You take what you learn from that competition and you go chip away every single day as hard as you can at that one thing you want to work on.
What was that one thing for you?
For me, it was lateral speed. Was not blessed with the high level athleticism some of my teammates were, so I had to kind of figure out what worked for me, and I had to do it again in college. And then I was, you know, for me, it was shooting, catch and shoot, other ways to get the three off, and having to figure out ways I could counter off that. Guys run me off the line, then what am I doing next?
Yeah. So I know Coach Merkel talks about this quite a bit. You know, what's your one superpower, right? Like, what's the one thing you do really well? As you started to learn who you were within Randolph-Macon, you had to work through the deficiency of lateral foot speed. What were you helping to cover that deficiency with your superpower?
Yeah, so my superpower would have to be catch and shoot. And every day in practice, if I got blown by or something, I made sure I was making this three, you know, this catch and shoot. So if I wasn't going to be able to guard one or two dribbles, then I can knock down a wide open three or even a heavily contested three.
Yeah, so you get that catch and shoot badge on 2K. Got it. So if that was your superpower and come hell or high water, I'm going to make sure people know this is what I'm doing. How many shots are you getting up a day? Cause that's not a superpower unless you're building that muscle.
Yeah. It was an every single day thing. And I think a lot of guys are tricked into getting on the gun and they think getting a bunch of standstill catch and shoot reps is the answer. But really that my warm-up was 50 catch and shoot threes. And then I'm like working on footwork. I'm coming off floppy screen. I'm working on my flare footwork. Like every part of my workout was like a short burst sprint to get my feet down as fast as I can. And then sometimes I would have a guy put a hand up right in my face and really get that visual, try to get that game-like rep. So that's mostly what my workouts were.
Yeah, I love that you talked about getting your footwork or getting your feet into the ground. A lot of what I talk about with our players, whether it's young players or all the way up into our current elite high school players, is before you can even get your shot off, the most important thing is fighting for your feet, right? Getting your feet dug into the ground, stopping whatever momentum you have, and then projecting yourself straight up. And so I think it's important for young kids from third grade all the way to kids that are seniors now, footwork matters. Footwork matters in the paint. Footwork matters at pace going in transition. Footwork matters as you're working on the different levels of shooting and the different styles of shooting based off coming off of a screen, coming off of a flare, a floppy screen, a curl, you know, anything that's happening on the court, knowing what footwork you need to go into and practicing that rep after rep after rep. So I think that's really good advice, and that's really good insight for our young players and our high school players. Really quickly, Will, freshman year at Randolph-Macon, played maybe four games. I think you scored maybe 3 points. And that way, you know, you shot 50% from three, so you were one of two, which is fantastic. I think that three was against Hampton-Sydney, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, we can definitely say it was. I'll make sure we get that in the record book.
Yeah, maybe it was over Adam Brazel. funny side story. I was looking up a graphic so I can put this out, and there's a graphic of Adam guarding you, and I was like, I might have to use that graphic.
I can shoot you a picture. I got one of me shooting over Adam.
That's perfect. I need that one. I need it. It's hard though, because there's also the picture of you and your family after the D3 national championship, and you're like, God, which one do we go with?
Yeah, right.
but so like you had a lot of court time, it's fair to say, at Davidson Day, right? Like you saw the court, you were looked at as a leader, and then insert freshman year at Randolph-Macon, high level, high caliber D3 school. You would say a major D3 school, right? Like you've got a high major and then you got low majors, as Merkel talks about. Randolph-Macon's a high major D3 school. Four games, not a lot of minutes. What is that like? And what do young athletes in the high school level need to understand about learning roles, having patience, trusting the process, and knowing what you see now is not what it's going to be like to start for the majority of high school athletes when they get to college?
Yeah, for sure. Great question. Yeah, like you said, I was a 3-year starter, something like that, at Davidson Day. A leader on that team, and then you come in freshman year and everybody is that best player. They're that leader on their own respective teams, and everybody's good at the level you're playing at that point. So it's basically, how can you separate yourself? How can you figure out ways that, we always say, close some gaps? So for me, guarding, right? But yeah, that was mentally, it was pretty tough. You know, you're used to playing a ton, you're a pivotal part of your previous team, and to just being that, like, I was 17th or 18th coming off the bench, one of those last few guys at that point my freshman year, and I had to ask myself, like, do I want to stick it out here, see what happens, kind of thing. And I had a tough conversation with my dad where we kind of decided, like, let's stick this thing out, you know, put your head down and work. And I told myself, like, the last thing I wanted to leave here with was regrets, right? That would be not working my hardest. I don't want to be able to look back and be like, man, I could have done more. And so that was my whole mindset that off season, going into sophomore year. And a little fun fact, I didn't play my first 3 games my sophomore year either. And so when that happened, it was even extra, just like, had a chip on my shoulder. I was working my tail off, and I made sure I was getting I wanted that opportunity, made sure everybody knew that.
Yeah. Fun fact about your fun fact, you didn't start, or you didn't play your first 3 games, but you did start in 3 games your sophomore year, right? And you appeared in 32 games. And you had 6 points in the national championship game. So things work out, right?
And 100%.
Yeah, and I think I think this goes back to having a community, right? And so in this instance, you leaned on your dad and kind of your family, kind of your support structure, to figure out, hey, what's best. And I think ultimately, at the end of the day, I think you guys would look back and say, yeah, I definitely made the right decision. But I love that the story there, because I talk with players about being willing versus capable, right? Like, there's a lot of capabilities for high school basketball players, for college basketball players. Everyone's capable. The question is, are you willing to sacrifice a little bit to get something greater further down the road, right? Everyone wants the convenience of, I want it now, I want it now. You wanted to be on the court now as a freshman, and you and your family, and you had to dig deep, do some self-reflection, and be like, am I willing to do what it's going to take, right? Being 17th, 18th on the bench freshman year, that's a lot of work, right? That's a lot of ladders, you know, rungs on the ladder to climb to get into that kind of core 7, 8, 9 that's kind of rotating in and off the bench. So I guess if there's any type of advice or encouragement for high school athletes, what can they be doing now to prepare themselves for potentially that experience?
Yeah, for sure. I think having an understanding of your role was huge for me. Like, freshman year, if I was 17th and 18th off the bench, I was also the loudest guy on the bench. Like, I'm still all in on this process for the team. It wasn't like, you can't have this mindset of like, I'm not playing, so screw the team, kind of thing. I think a lot of guys fall into that trap of instant gratification, as you touched on earlier, where it's like, I'm not receiving any benefit now, so what's even the point? Like, if you can understand that it will not be that easy to play like ever, honestly, ever, then you can really put your head down and control what you can control. I think that's the biggest advice I could give. If you worry about things out of your control, playing time, other guys type of stuff, the only thing you can really control is, you know, your work ethic and what you are doing every single day to separate yourself.
Yeah, bloom where you're planted is the way I like that kind of situation or experience. I tell you what, if I'm 17th, 18th on the bench, I'm going to be a nuisance in practice. I'm going to be a pain in the rear end, and I'm going to show the coach, hey, that's what you're going to get if I can get 2 minutes on the court. I'm not focused on scoring. I'm focused on getting every loose ball. I'm focused on getting every rebound. I'm focused on guarding my yard and just locking down and being a nuisance for 2 minutes. Because if I got 2 minutes every game, I mean, I am the most energized because I'm not tired, right? So, like, in that perspective, whatever you're getting, maximize whatever you're getting, whether it's practice time, whether it's 2 minutes on the court. And then the other thing, you know, I just thought about this when you were talking about that, right? Like, your experience as a freshman in college is similar to a lot of high school kids' experiences. And so you had kids on the Davidson Day bench that probably felt the same way you felt as a freshman at Randolph-Macon. And so as a high school athlete, when you look at that person that's 11th, 12th on your high school bench, what are you expecting from them when they touch the court or when you're in practice? And then think about that when you get into college, because now the roles have just flipped, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my best advice for those guys coming off the bench, like deep bench in high school, is like you just said, like, be a nuisance in practice. Make sure you are taking every opportunity you can get to show what you can do. And then kind of my expectation for a guy like that, if I was a senior starter, expectation and practice for those 11, 12 guys, you're probably going to be on a scout team kind of thing. If you can prep us the best way you can, which is giving us hell in practice, to best prep us for this game, then you have my respect. Like, it's never, as long as you're taking that thing serious, you're still grinding, you're trying to make us better, because that's your role at that point, then that's big time.
Yeah. So what is your advice looking back? And I know that your recruitment was a little bit different because, you know, we were in and out of kind of the COVID side of things. What is your advice when it comes to recruitment for high school athletes, right? Using the landscape and lens of you are a scholarship level player because you had those D2 offers. And you were a high major D3 player, right? And so, like, outside of making that decision, what was kind of your thought process going through it? What were you doing from a recruitment standpoint? What was PSB or Ron or your dad doing? Like, all this big community doing for you? So what, like, using all of that, what kind of is your advice for kind of the unsigned 2024s, our current 17s that are 2025s?
Yeah, I mean, what was huge for me is going where you're wanted. I think that a lot of guys fall for the trap of going for the name, going for the Division II scholarship, you know, that kind of whole idea. But, you know, maybe you're getting recruited to not even, like, be a guy on that D2 team, or something's not fitting, or they're bringing in a bunch of transfers, that type of thing. And I felt at the Division III level, coaches, they wanted me, you know. I think that was big time for me. And then I would also say fit. Like, if you can see yourself going to the school without the sport, that was the advice I got. If you can see yourself going to the school without the sport, then that might be the right fit for you, and you got to seriously consider that one.
Yeah, I love that last piece, because we use that a lot when talking with our high school athletes is, hey, remove the sport. Can you go to that school? Do you like that community? Do you see yourself graduating from that school? So I think I think that's really good advice. How was your experience playing with Buzz?
man, Buzz was a huge help for me. Like, if I can get, I give that guy a lot of credit because he was in the gym with me all the time. And that dude has so much wisdom and experience that he just willingly passed on to a guy like me and really helped me out that freshman sophomore year. And obviously he's playing pro ball now, and he's kind of the standard for Division III athletes. He was that player of the year our national championship year, and yeah, that dude, he was special.
An absolute beast on the court, man. Loved watching him play. I love what you said about him, though, because too, I think it's important for high school athletes who are looked at as or seen as leaders, kind of the alpha dogs, the guys, the dudes on their team. You got to be pouring into the younger guys. You know, like, you got to be helping to continue your team's cultural legacy and play by pouring into, whether it's helping hold them accountable, which I'm sure Buzz held you accountable an awful lot, and you were responsive to that. And you just, I'm sure there were times where you're like, screw this guy, but that's just kind of men getting in their feelings. But at the end of the day, I'm sure you were uber responsive to that. And I think we're in a day and age where, like, we're timid when it comes to a player-led team is better than a coach-led team. And so for our leaders on a team, we've got to help be a cadence of accountability and grow and learn and push the cultural legacy of our team down to the younger guys so they're living it and then can drop it down and drop it down. So I really love that story. Really quickly, a couple more questions. One, just back to your recruitment. When did you finally make your decision, right? Because I think a lot of kids are like, they see social media now and it's like, this guy got an offer and this guy committed and this guy's doing this and this guy's doing that. And it's like, just shut it off, right? Like, your journey is your journey. And the stark reality is a lot of offers and a lot of commitments don't come until the latter part of kind of your high school career.
Yeah, for sure. My first offer, I remember it was from a D2 in January, my senior year of high school. So it's not like that first half of the season, I feel like I came off a pretty good summer ball with PSB, and nothing, no offers, no nothing. And I didn't commit until probably that last week in March when COVID first hit. So, I mean, that patience is huge for guys. I mean, it can be a mental ringer at times, but that recruitment, especially at the D2 and D3 levels, won't come until late.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's super important, and this speaks to both just the recruitment process, but also the development process. Everything that we do is a marathon. It's not a sprint, right? So, like, you've got to pace yourself. You've got to see kind of those moral kind of milestone wins as you're along on that journey. And so just staying true, staying committed, staying disciplined, having a community, I'm sure helps you, as, you know, Coach Johnson, your PSB coaches, your dad, everyone's just pouring into you. Just stick with it. Just stick with it, right? Things are happening. So just having that trust in the community that's around you is super important, I would imagine.
100%. And I had all my guys were going through the same thing. I will say, though, like, it was a bit tough sometimes because I played with CJ. He's this 6'11 athlete who can shoot the three ball, and he's getting all these offers and all this stuff. You know, I'm like, man, I wish I could just get one of those. But like you said, it's your own journey. When I got my offer, I didn't even like post it on Twitter. Like, that just wasn't gonna be me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So I would be remiss. How was your experience? Because you were with PSB for a minute, right? Like you were a PSB rat in a sense. How was that experience? How was PSB Elite? How was the younger experience? Just kind of overarching your journey with PSB.
Yeah, PSB was, they were big time for me. Coming through, I think, 9th and 10th grade year, they had these like academic camps for kids, and that was like basically a loophole to get D3 college coaches working the camp. and coaching kids who were probably going to fall into that level from an early age. And that was big time for me. That after that camp, I got my first college email. My recruitment really started at that level from like other ODAC schools and the other Division III schools. So PSB was big time for me. It was the emphasis on just getting to college basketball was big too. Like there was never like a D1 or bust mentality from the organization. They were very supportive of all levels and just trying to get kids to the next level.
So I'm going to give you a hot take, or I'm going to put you on a hot spot. Technically speaking, you have a fifth year.
Right.
Any thought process there?
Yeah, so this COVID year, I'm going to take it, but not at Randolph-Macon. There is no post-grad school here, unfortunately, and so I'll graduate with an undergrad. But my thought process is I can take advantage of this thing and get a master's started. There was another guy in our league, Casey Draper, played at Roanoke College. He's doing the same thing at Assumption, a D2 school, starting his master's. And I think that's the best way to take advantage of this extra COVID year.
Nice, man. That's I definitely be looking out for that to see kind of what's the next chapter in the Will Coble basketball collegiate journey. Last thing we do for our guests is we kind of give them the hot spot, give them the soapbox, 20, 30 seconds, whatever. Anything kind of sitting on your heart, sitting on your mind as it relates to your journey, basketball, insight, wisdom for the younger guy coming up. This is your chance to be buzzed to the listener.
Yeah, I would say, like I said earlier, I got two things. I'm going to say, You want to come out of this thing with no regrets. If you can come out your senior year of high school, no offers, but you feel like you like work every single day, you're getting those 2 or 3 a day workouts every day, you can leave your career with no regrets. You did everything you could possibly do. And then that leads me into controlling what you can control. You can only control what you do. You can only control your mind. You can only control your work ethic. And you know, what you can't control is other guys' recruitments. You can't control those college coaches that aren't reaching out. You can only control yourself. And that's getting in the gym every single day. That's getting those extra lifts. And that's basically what I got.
Love it, man. Love it. Really appreciate you joining the podcast. Appreciate the insight. Excited for the next chapter of your journey, and definitely excited to catch up this summer trying to get some PSB alumni runs and some other guys in the gym just to get some quality hoops in Charlotte. So Will, my friend, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
See you, buddy. To the listeners, thank you for listening. Outside of that, leave it all on the court.
Thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so that you can stay tuned to future episodes. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at ProSkills Basketball on Instagram and Facebook, and at ProSkills B-Ball on Twitter. And if you'd like to find out more information about our teams, camps, clinics, or virtual basketball, check out our website at www.proskillsbasketball.com. We'll see you soon on another conversation.